Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
While the world conjectures over the agreement between President Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, and while theoretically the world is temporarily at least a bit safer because of this agreement, not everyone is happy with this potential. In fact, Iran, formerly in league with North Korea, now warns North Korea to not go forward because they say you cannot trust the United States. Yet it is Iran that remains perhaps the greatest single immediate threat to world stability and certainly to the future of Israel. The greater goal of the Trump administration to isolate and defang Iran is in part, I believe, being achieved by working hard to denuclearize North Korea and therefore undercut North Korea's ability to continue helping Iran. Well, into this picture, Israel continues to be the hinge pin of world attention, just like the Bible says it will be. In fact, the contrast between Israel and her worst enemies, I'm going to say Iran and Turkey, becomes more obvious by the day. So today's theme for Stand in the Gap Today is a lesson in contrast, Israel versus Iran and Turkey. And with that introduction, let me welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'll be joined by Evangelist Dave Kistler and Dr. Gary Dahl, and a special friend, our recurring guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is host of Prophecy Today. And I also just want to thank Dave for filling in yesterday and hosting the program in my absence. Sometimes I'm away from this program, and we don't often say why it is, but as you all know, as we've said a couple of times anyways, we have been fortunate to start a new program, a TV program called Stand in the Gap TV. Isaac Crockett, who co-hosts on this program, he and I co-host that program together. And yesterday we did a two-part program on the theme of America's moral compass. Is it broken or just discarded? And this half-hour weekly program airs Sunday afternoon, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at prime time across all of eastern Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and New Jersey, 7 million households, and will be going nationwide in the fall. You can listen to that on our app, Stand in the Gap, free app, and just put in Stand in the Gap. You can get it there, or you can find it on our website at standinthegapradio.com. So just wanted to mention that to you, that sometimes when I'm not here, it's those kinds of things that are taking some time and effort. Well, to start our study in contrast, men, I want to play a short clip from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of a short message that he sent just a day or two by Facebook and some other means directly to the Iranian people. Now, listen to this as he highlights and what he offers the Iranian people. Very significant.
Today, I'm going to make an unprecedented offer to Iran. It relates to water. The Iranian people are victims of a cruel and tyrannical regime that denies them vital water. Israel stands with the people of Iran, and that is why I want to help save countless Iranian lives. Here's how. Iran's meteorological organization says that nearly 96% of Iran suffers from some levels of drought. Issa Kalantari, a former Iranian agriculture minister, said that 50 million Iranians could be forced out of their homes due to environmental damage. 50 million. Millions of Iranian children are suffering due to mismanagement, to incompetence, and the theft of vital resources by the Iranian regime. Now, Israel also has water challenges. We've developed cutting-edge technologies to address them. Israel recycles nearly 90% of its wastewater. That's far more than any other country on Earth. We invented drip irrigation. Our technology targets individual plants with exactly the nutrients they need for each plant. Israel has the know-how to prevent environmental catastrophe in Iran. I want to share this information with the people of Iran. Sadly, Iran bans Israelis from visiting, so we'll have to get creative. We will launch a Farsi website with detailed plans on how Iranians can recycle their wastewater. We will show how Iranian farmers can save their crops and feed their families. The Iranian regime shouts death to Israel. In response, Israel shouts life to the Iranian people.
Isn't that interesting, ladies and gentlemen? Contrast. Iran threatens the people, Israel says to the Iranian people, we can help you live. Jimmy, I want to go directly to you right now and say that's one example of a sharp contrast between Iran and Israel. In your opinion, will a message like this be well received by the Iranian people who literally are drying up in their prolonged drought? And what's the potential impact, in your opinion, of this? Or do you think this is just a made-for-media strategy?
I do not believe that this is a made-for-media strategy. I believe that the Prime Minister of Israel is absolutely concerned about those people in Iran. May I tell you this? Israel does not want a fight with Iran. They want to coexist in the Middle East. Iran is the nation that wants to destroy, wipe out the Jewish state of Israel. So I do believe that the people of Iran are going to be very open to receive this. You know, he mentioned some of the advantages that Israel has through innovation and being able to develop water sources. And there's something he did not even mention, which is so brand new. They have a desalination. In other words, they take the ocean water out of the Mediterranean, out of the Dead Sea, out of the Red Sea, and they desalinate it, and now they are using it and actually pumping that water into the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee represents two-thirds of the water supply for the Jewish people. The Sea of Galilee is evaporating, and it's at the lowest level it's been in a number of years, but they are resupplying that water, so they know how to do that. And I think it's fantastic what they're doing. And the potential for the Iranian people is, first of all, to be able to live, to be able to grow their crops and have the water that they need. But it's also a potential, in my opinion, for the people of Iran to rise up and overthrow the regime, the Ayatollahs, and bring down that Islamic Republic. You know, this world is going to destroy Islam, and the Islamic State is going to be destroyed ultimately. But if you stop in the development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction and may delay that for a little while, that's up to the Lord. He will give the signal when they're supposed to attack the Jewish state and how the Jewish state will be protected. However, I read the last chapter. It's not going to be all good for the future. In fact, what's going to happen is ultimately this nation, Iran, with others, will align themselves against the Jewish people. And as the former president of Iran, Ayatollah, led and directed Ahmadinejad, said for almost every day for 8 years, we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. That's the bottom line. That's the last chapter in Bible prophecy.
Well, Jimmy, great setup here. And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, Dave Kistler, and Gary Dahl, and our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is host of Prophecy Today. We're going to stay in the Middle East as we move now into the next segment, where we focus on Iran and Syria and the fact that they are very seriously threatening Israel, but Israel has also given a very serious warning back to both Iran and Syria, and we know that neither one of them are playing games, but we're going to see contrast, a lesson in contrast, as we look at Israel and its neighbors who really want them destroyed. So stay with us. We're going to be back in just a moment or two with our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, here on Stand in the Gap today.
Hi, this is Bill Koenig of World Watch Daily from Washington, D.C. I commend Sam Rohr for airing the Stand in the Gap radio program on the American Pastors Network. Sam and his team of Dave, Gary, and Isaac offers a wide variety of guests that discuss the important and relevant issues that keep Christians informed and engaged. As a White House correspondent for the past 17 years, I have appreciated the opportunity to share what I'm observing in our country and the platform to discuss the biblically significant times that we are living in regarding Israel, the Middle East, and other key places around the world.
With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, and with analysis from our team of preachers, combined with expert guests like Bill Koenig, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, George Barna, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, IQ Abrasouli, and many more, with God's guidance and your financial and prayer support, the Stand in the Gap Today team is quickly becoming the most trusted source of news. Pray for us. Stand with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
The contrast between Israel and her enemies, in particular Iran and Turkey, couldn't be more profound. Both Iran and Turkey want to wipe Israel off the map. Israel doesn't really want to engage a conflict with either one of them. Iran and Turkey want to usher in chaos and destruction so that their Islamic Mahdi, we would say the biblical Antichrist, can return. Both strive to advance Islam around the world, that is, Turkey and Iran. And both of them would love to see a revived Ottoman Empire with themselves in the driver's seat. Well, as the U.S. moves towards reimposing sanctions on Iran following the repudiation of the Iran nuclear bomb development deal that Obama dealt with them, Iran is forced to either capitulate or escalate their goals against Israel. They really can't stay in the middle ground. It appears without question that they are not going to capitulate, as it appears North Korea is doing. Rather, they're escalating with conflict looming greater, not less. Now, to find out more about the current status, I want to bring back in now Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, former Israel and Jerusalem correspondent. He's an evangelist. He's also host of his own programs entitled Prophecy Today. So, Jimmy, glad that you're back with us today. I know you're traveling. You're in Wisconsin, I think, as we're speaking right now, and glad you're taking time to be back with us here.
Thank you, sir. It's always a joy to join the team that is at the forefront, cutting edge, of using the Constitution and the Word of God to help people understand how to live today.
Well, amen. And we're glad to have you because you're a great asset to that because you understand both so very, very well. But, Jimmy, in recent programs in the past, we've talked about Iranian surrogates in the form of Hezbollah that have been amassing for some time on Israel's northern border. They've got a lot of missiles sitting there, lots happening. But just a few days ago, it was revealed that large numbers of Syrian soldiers in, let's put it this way, they appeared to be Syrian soldiers because they were wearing Syrian uniforms. But in fact, they were not Syrians. They were Iranians dressed in Syrian uniforms. And that, to me, is a potential game changer. Because when you get them coming down there along with Hezbollah, it says that something really may be up. Jimmy, what can you tell us about this and that this doesn't appear to be a potential, but this evidently strategy being executed by Iranians dressing in Syrian uniforms? What's this say, and does it not raise the level of seriousness to which Israel must respond somehow?
Sam, serious is very little phrase to use as it relates to what the Israeli Defense Force is making preparation to do. Let me just remind everybody that the Israeli Defense Force not only has the Mossad, which is probably the greatest intelligence gathering organization in the world, but they have in the Defense Force itself its own intelligence organization. And they were not fooled by these Iranians trying to disguise themselves in Syrian uniforms. They knew they were on top of. In fact, I have a number of friends in Israel who are a part of that intel operation. And they've told me stories about how they've been on the other side of the Syrian border with Israel and reporting back all that is taking place. The Israeli military had to go back and re-strategize after they realized what was going on. They know that Iran is the major threat that's located in Syria. Now, they're a major threat to Israel from their perspective there in Tehran and the rest of the state of Iran. But with them in Syria at Israel's northern border, they understand this is a major threat.
Dr. Jimmy, let me ask you this. With this alignment of Iran with their surrogates, Hezbollah, Syria, not even to mention Russia sitting in the middle, all of this poses a phenomenal threat to Israel. Is there anything that Prime Minister Netanyahu is saying about this? And if so, what is that?
David, this last week, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, went into the European Union to visit with a number of leaders there, in particular Theresa May there in the United Kingdom, went over to meet with Angela Merkel in Germany and Macron, who is the president of France. He wanted to brief them on the Iranian threat to Israel. But his major point was, hey, look, not only Israel is threatened by this Iranian nuclear-powered opportunity, but the European Union is going to be next in line. They have a delivery system, the Shahab 3 missile, that can hit any location in the European Union as well. So the prime minister was briefing at least these three leaders. Remember that the European Union is trying to negotiate now with Iran to continue on the Iranian nuclear deal from the Obama administration. It does not look like that's going to be a possibility, but the prime minister wanted to make certain that that was the case, so he went there. And in the bottom line of his visit with these European Union leaders, he said Iran has one purpose for the development of that nuclear weapon of mass destruction, and that is to annihilate Israel. And once Israel is annihilated, which is basically the defense from Iran spreading across the world, it's coming to the European Union next. That was his main thrust, and he's speaking out very definitely about this threat.
You know, Jimmy, it's very, very interesting to hear Netanyahu speak, and particularly as we heard in that last segment, how that he is willing to provide resources so that Iran can have good water. I mean, you know, there's something that you've got to say very positive about Netanyahu, but also it shows to me in what they're doing with the water over there that God has given them great wisdom to restore that land again. It's just amazing to watch what's going on there. But going on here a little bit, Iran threatens Israel, and yet Israel issues a stark warning to Iran as well as Syria. My question to you is, what is this warning that has been sent out by Netanyahu, and can it actually be accomplished?
Well, in fact, it can be accomplished, Gary, because as many have recognized, the Israeli Defense Force, that fighting force may well be the number one or number two military operation in the entire world. God has provided them with the wisdom, the smarts you were talking about as it relates to water, and the innovations they're using to supply all of their people in Israel with water. So that's a part of what God's done and blessed the Jewish people. But the Israeli Defense Force is ready and can now defend itself against any enemy. They're living in a tough, rough neighborhood, about 7.5 million Jewish people surrounded by 350 million Muslims. They're ready to do what they need to do. Now, while the prime minister was in the European Union, and as he returned back to Israel, he gave a stark warning to Syria. He said, if you attack us, and they're at Israel's northern border, we probably ought to discuss this in a moment, but if you and your forces, he said to Bashar Assad, the president, if you're there at Israel's northern border in the Golan Heights on the Syrian side, you're ready to attack. Should you attack, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our military, the best in the world. We're going to come in. We're going to wipe out all the Syrian military. And then we're going after you, Bashar Assad. We're going to assassinate you. That's the warning. Here's the line. Step over. We come. And to Iran, he said, hey, we'll attack Iran. Remember what we did when we got those secret files? We can do it again, but this time we can kill all of you. Very stark warning.
And the thing of it is, Jimmy, you said correctly, they can do it. Now, let's talk about what's amassing there on the northern border of Israel, because if you got Iran down there in Syrian uniforms, really, Syria is aligning themselves by permitting that so closely with Iran that they are really linking themselves together. What happens?
They're a part of the coalition, Sam. You've got not only on Israel's northern border, right there across the border, 2.5 miles to that once-evacuated city, Kenetra, you have the Syrian military forces, you have the Iranian military forces, you have Hezbollah, the terrorist organization out of southern Lebanon, and you have a mighty force at Israel's northern border ready to come across and attack. Remember, Bashar Assad had said a number of times that he was going to liberate or take back the Golan Heights. He said that because his father lost it in the Six-Day War and in the Yom Kippur War as well. And so he wants to bring honor back to the name of the Assad and their leadership in Syria. He said, we'll take it back. We'll take it back diplomatically, or we'll take it back militarily. And with these forces, Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, they're 2.5 miles from the border. They are massing, and boy, the prime minister is getting ready and making some decisions to take care of that situation as well. But they are there, they're ready, and they're saying, if you come across, here's what's going to happen.
Now, Jim, we only have just about a minute left here right now, but I'm just going to, for the sake of it, throw Russia into this, because Russia is there pulling the strings with, not necessarily pulling the strings with Iran, but they are there in Syria. Is it possible that they could stay out of this engagement?
Absolutely no way they're going to be able to stay out of it, because, but right now, Sam, they're playing both sides of the fence. They're saying to Israel, hey, we will help protect you. You can go in. You can do your airstrikes. We'll bring it to a point where we're going to show Iran the door to get out of Syria. But at the same time, they're staying with the Iranians. They have a relationship with Syria. Bashar Assad going to Moscow, meeting with Vladimir Putin. I mean, Russia's playing both sides of the fence. And again, the last chapter says Russia will lead that coalition of Islamic states to attack the state of Israel. That stage is being set.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as Dr. Jimmy DeYoung was saying, Russia's playing the fence. And if you ride the fence long enough, you're going to fall off on one side or the other. Biblically, we know where they're going to fall off. So watch them all together, even though they appear not to be in the center of the discussion right now. They really are. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and Dave Kistler with me today, and our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, on our theme today of a lesson in contrast. We're looking at Israel as comparison to its unfriendly neighbors, Iran and Turkey. When we come back, we're going to talk about a surprising IDF call-up.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
If you're just joining us, we welcome you today to Stand in the Gap today. And again, this is Sam Rohr, and today accompanied by Dr. Gary Dahl and Evangelist Dave Kistler, and our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, as we again focusing on things in the Middle East, Israel specifically, but how it stands in sharp contrast to its most unfriendly neighbors, particularly Iran and Turkey, but others there as well. Now, if you're just joining us for the first time, we are glad you're with us, and we want to just encourage all who are listening that you again can get all the archives to these programs on our website, standinthegapradio.com, or on our free app. You can also access podcasts. You can go in there on the app or our site, and you can actually sort by subject matter and pull up smaller portions of pre-existing programs with a smaller focus on certain specific themes. It's a really great way to learn about a range of topics that we deal with regularly on this program. You can also access the archives of our new TV program, Stand in the Gap, and its various themes that we deal with there. All of that you can find on the app or on the website, standinthegapradio.com. And again, please, we encourage you to write to us. Let us know that you are listening. Stand with us financially. We are a ministry. We need your help. And if God is doing a work in your heart and encouraging you and you are benefiting, even a small amount per month would be of tremendous help to us. So I'd encourage you to do that. You can do it again by the website or the app. Well, as I mentioned before we went into the last break, the enemies of Israel continue to align against her in the form of Iran, Syria, the Islamic jihadist proxies of Hamas and Hezbollah, and of course, Russia, as we were talking about with Jimmy in the last segment, and Turkey. So the need for Israel to be on the constant alert is only increasing. The remarkable thing is that tiny Israel, about 7 million people, it's tiny in both terms of geography and population compared to the vast Islamic hordes to the north, has not only been able to survive, but to thrive. And we know that this is nothing less than God's divine continual intervention that we witness and can describe, as some have, against all odds, Israel has been there. Now, while always on alert, sometimes Israel goes on what I would call a full alert, signaling that something may be about to happen of enormous consequence. And that high alert just happened. And to find out more about that, I want to bring back in now to Stand in the Gap microphones our special guest and friend, Middle East expert Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Jimmy, the Israeli Defense Fund, as you said earlier, is perhaps the most prepared and elite in the Middle East, certainly, but perhaps even the entire world. They're always ready to move at a moment's notice, but something just happened that's not in the regular press that we need to know about. Tell us what happened there with the IDF just very recently.
Well, it was a surprise call-up of the Israeli Defense Force reservists. On Sunday, they put the signal out. And when Israelis, all of them, if they've already served in the Israeli Defense Force from 18 years of age until the first 3 years, till about 21 or 22, then for the next up until 45 years of age, they are going to be a reservist on call at an instant's notice. And on Sunday, that's exactly what happened, a total surprise. There was no forewarning that this would take place. Wherever these reservists were, they were to leave immediately. If they were at home, if they were at work, they just walk out of the building. They put military equipment and hardware on. They go immediately to the assigned location. And there's a special, for example, if they're riding on a bus, a signal comes through the loudspeaker on the bus and gives them a location. It's in code to where they're to report. This time, they reported into the Golan Heights. And they went up there immediately. They were ready to go. And that's what needs to be done. That's how they have stayed alive. Just prior to this call-up, this surprise call-up, the Israeli Air Force had been doing exercises as well. So they were there to back up the ground troops who were up there at the Golan Heights almost on an instant notice.
Jimmy, with regard to that call-up, do we know what the specific threat is or what specifically motivated this surprise call-up? I mean, was it a drill? Was it real? And then to follow that up, do Israel's enemies over there in the Middle East fear them at all?
Well, I've got to tell you that they do, Gary. They fear them because you might go back and think and remember that every single time the Israeli leaders are asked, do they have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction and an arsenal of nuclear weapons, they make no comment. That's almost a foregone conclusion that they have probably one of the largest nuclear arsenals in the world. The Israelis don't want to make that commitment and tell anybody that's the case. They want them all guessing as to whether there will be a follow-up attack if anybody should attack Israel, whether it be on the ground or whether it be in the air or whether it be a nuclear attack of some type. So this call-up just on Sunday was actually a drill at this moment because they're not in war. If it had been the real thing, they would have been fighting within hours of the call-up taking place. But I've got to say also, Gary, it is real. The Galilee, as we were talking in the last segment, on the other side of the northern border of Israel stands Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah ready to come across. Iran and Syrian air forces there in the Golan Heights on the northern side, in the Syrian side. Iran, Hezbollah, and Syria at Kenetra. Again, I can't emphasize any more than I do all the time how significant Kenetra is and them putting up a military base, a launch pad for Iran and Syria and Hezbollah and all of those involved, Russia, to come across that border into the Golan Heights of Israel and try to take it back, which is exactly what Bashar Assad said. By the way, on the other side, in the Syrian side of the Golan Heights, they are both well-armed and ready to go. Syria has just put into operation its missile defense system there in the Galilee on the northern side and the Syrian side. So this is a drill that is taking place, a practice drill. These Israeli Defense Force reservists did not know whether it was real or whether it was a drill. They just replied to that command to go as if it was the real thing, and within days, it could be the real thing.
Dr. Jimmy, let's talk prophecy for a little bit if we can. You've got this call-up of the IDF. You've got this amassing of troops along the border there. You've got Iranians dressed in Syrian uniforms. And then on top of that, there was a very clear warning given by Israel to Syria with respect to their troops, with respect to even Bashar al-Assad himself. And we also know that in Isaiah 17, the Bible very clearly says that Damascus is going to be destroyed. Which, of course, is the capital of Syria. So can you pull all that together prophetically? Is what we're watching unfold right now in front of our eyes, is there a prophetic component to this?
David, it has to be the precursor to those prophecies being fulfilled. Isaiah 17 is an absolute. Five times in Isaiah chapter 17, it says that Damascus will be destroyed. And it describes in Isaiah chapter 17 the time in history when that will take place, when a coalition of nations are coming together ready to attack the Jewish state of Israel. That's when God is going to allow Damascus to be destroyed. Now, quite interestingly, when you look at the book of Daniel, chapter 11, it's referring to the Antichrist. He is in him from verse 40 to verse 45, used 14 times. And each time, if you study that passage very carefully, you'll see that the he, his, and him is the Antichrist described earlier in chapter 11, verses 36 to 39. So the Antichrist basically will come in. He'll be over in Rome putting together that false religion. He'll make his way back into the promised land. And by the way, he comes back because he confirmed that peace treaty to bring peace to this region of the world. It's not going on. He then goes up to Syria, wipes out Damascus. And that is exactly what Prime Minister Netanyahu said. Hey, Syria, if you attack us, we're going to wipe out your military, we're going to wipe out your capital city, and we're going to assassinate your leader. And so we're talking about what's happening. I mean, I can't see any greater significance to these events happening than telling the world what Bible prophecy tells us is going to come to pass. God has a plan. He's going to make it happen. Damascus had better be ready. Syria had better be ready. And remember, in that coalition of nations that comes against the Jewish state of Israel, Syria makes the very first move in that alignment of nations to attack and annihilate Israel.
And Jimmy, we got about less than a minute here right now, but you are up speaking this week prophetically in a whole number of churches. Last night you said that you preached and there were a number of people who came to salvation. Jimmy, prophecy that we're talking about, what should it be doing for people, for Christians and for non-Christians? We need to know about this.
First of all, and I told them this last night, Sam, the house was packed to the doors and out into the hallways and everything else. I said, look, folks, there's two people in this building. Some of you are saved, some of you are lost. Those lost people had better be prepared. After I gave this message, showed you in Bible prophecy where we are in God's stand, you better be prepared by knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Once prepared, we have to live a pure life. Paul told Titus, lay aside ungodliness. Live soberly, godly, and righteously. Lay aside that which is wrong, live that which is right. And the way you do it, Paul said, is looking for the blessed hope, the return and the rapture of the church into the arms of Jesus Christ. And then as long as we wait for that to happen, we need to be productive. Those yes. are the three steps.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Jimmy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back in a moment, but the Crusades happened years ago. We know that in history, right? Well, you know there's a world leader right now that's actually threatening a renewal of the Crusades? Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, not only is Iran a sworn enemy of Israel and the Bible and the United States, the nation of Turkey has arisen at almost breakneck speed with President Erdogan as the world's greatest current strongman who envisions himself leading a revived Ottoman Empire of Islamic nations to subdue not only the world, but to destroy Israel. Well, in the past 10 days, Turkey has moved almost fully into the arms of Russia. and even Secretary of State Pompeo confirming as much. And this is yet to find its way into big press in the regular media, but it will. Big changes happening there. Well, all this means that Turkey is going to ultimately have to move away from NATO, which it has been gradually, but I think it's going to become more obvious, and away from the EU and the West, into a new relationship, which we know biblically is going to be with Russia. So we see this happening before our eyes as we're looking right now as well. In addition, President Erdogan just recently struck out against Austria. You may not have seen this, but this is interesting. Struck out against Austria for announcing new policies that may result in the expelling of dozens of Muslim terrorist teaching imams in Austria. This precipitated an historic threat by Erdogan that we just can't go unnoticing right now. And we don't talk about it as he calls for war and how I think it fits together, perhaps prophetically. So, Jimmy, I want to go right now to you on this. The Austrian prime minister announced policy changes that would evict between 40 to 60 Muslim clerics and their families due to the results of public scandals and investigations that were showing that these mosques were plotting to overthrow the Austrian government and impose an Islamic caliphate. Now, my first question is this. How do you respond to that announcement? And then this, and this is what I mentioned before the break, specifically Erdogan's response when he said this, quote, "These measures taken by the Austrian prime minister are, I fear, leading the world towards a war between the cross and the crescent." And that's why I was led to say it sounds like he's calling for the Crusades to happen again. But, Jimmy, did you find this as astounding as I did? I mean, I found it astounding, but tell me your thoughts on it.
Well, I certainly did find it astounding. And let me just give you this caveat. You might remember within the last couple of days, President Vladimir Putin of Russia visited for 8 hours in Austria. All of this taking place at the same time that Turkey and Tayyip Erdogan was making this pronouncement that he was going to see a war between the cross and the crescent unfold very, very closely. You mentioned in the beginning in your introduction in this segment about the tie between Russia and Turkey. That is the case. And we're talking about, when we step back and look at this whole situation, Sam, we're talking about the two major superpowers that will come about in the what we refer to the tribulation period. It's that seven-year period of time after the rapture of the church and before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, there are going to be two superpowers at the beginning of that. The first one is going to be the European Union will morph into the revived Roman Empire. That's a major player. As you study Daniel, you'll see that the revived Roman Empire, a major player as it related even to the Ottoman Empire. The other superpower is going to be led by Russia, and it's the alignment of nations, and Russia and Turkey are involved very closely in this operation. Now, the European Union and Russia have not been in a coalition. Austria, you've got to remember, is basically a Catholic nation. Also, a lot of Lutherans there in that part of the world. They're all involved in what is referred to as a replacement theology. Both of these religions, Catholicism and the Lutheran Church, are believing that they, as the church, have replaced the nation of Israel and the promises that God has given the Jewish people, which is a satanic doctrine. You've also got to remember that Hitler came from Austria, went into Germany, and started his Nazi Hitler Youth movement, which ended up with the Holocaust, of course. These Muslim clerics, every one of them want a caliphate, not only in Austria. This is a precursor, the actions in Austria, to setting up that caliphate. But wait a minute. Let me also remind, these mosques around every nation in this world are planning to do the exact same thing. That's what the Quran teaches them. They must be involved in the preparation to have a worldwide kingdom, a caliphate. The Islamic peoples hate the Jewish people. They want to get rid of them. But they also hate Christians as well. That's going to be setting the stage for this cross-crescent attack this war. The cross would be the Christian people, of course. The crescent would be the Muslim people. And it's going to be the final war for the Muslims as they try to wipe out both the Jews and the Christians.
Dr. Jimmy, whether or not there is a revived Ottoman Empire or not is one thing, but a war between the cross and the crescent, you know, is something else altogether. And we're actually watching that take place right now with this advance of Islamic ideology across the globe. Can you talk, if you can, here in just the last couple of minutes, about what you believe Turkey's role is from a geopolitical standpoint now, and then what is going to be Turkey's role prophetically?
I got to tell you, David, you're right on target as it relates to the fact that the cross-crescent war is now in operation. But it's really simply a precursor to what's going to happen after the rapture of the church during the tribulation period. In fact, in the tribulation period, the Jews and Christians are going to be under attack as the Islamic world tries to set up that worldwide caliphate. But I, again, have read the last chapter. We, you know, we hear these current events unfolding. We talk about them on the radio. We talk about them. You travel the country speaking to churches. You talk with prophetic themes in your messages. And we talk about all of this, but everything is coming together, but it's culminating in the tribulation period. We are seeing the precursors of all of these prophecies. When it happens, and I believe this alignment of nations attacking the Jewish people and going after Christians takes place in the first 6 months of the tribulation period, they have to be wiped out because the Antichrist is going to play a key role in that alignment of nations and wiping them out. And then the Lord's going to intercede because the Antichrist has to get back over to Rome and continue his buildup of that false religion. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse 18 through chapter 39, verse 6, we see that the Lord ultimately, in this alignment of nations attacking the Jewish state of Israel, that alignment would include Turkey, would include Iran, would include Syria. These are all players we talked about on today's broadcast. Russia will be the leader of it. At that point in time, the Lord intercedes, rains hellfire and brimstone out of heaven, and wipes out, renders inoperative the Islamic world. That happens in the first 6 months of the tribulation period. Because of the false church, which will be headquartered in Rome, Italy, Revelation chapter 17. So all of this that God tells us in his word is going to happen, and those prophets were given this information 2,500 years ago. And the amazing thing to me, we as Christians can read this word and understand today is the time those ancient Jewish prophets were talking about. We'd better be ready for all of this to happen. It's upon us, and it can happen quicker than we even believe.
Well, Jimmy, that is a great way to close the program. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to go because the time is up. But looking at the news of the day, as we say, Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, we see God's word being worked out right before us. And it should be the greatest encouraging thing to all of us who know the Lord. And for those of you listening, folks, who you don't know Jesus Christ, this is the time to come to him while there is yet time. So I would encourage you to do that. Well, join us back again tomorrow. Gary is going to be leading the program. Special guest David New will be with us on a very, very intriguing topic. Tomorrow, here on Stand in the Gap Today, I'm Sam Rohr. Say goodbye to you and stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit standinthegapradio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.